another segment of Market Overdrive. I am your host, residential real estate broker with Coldwell Banker. How are you, Nick?
I'm just listening to this jockey. You know, you're more the size of an actual jockey of a horse racer.
So my producer and therapist told me to be nice to you today. And so in order for me to be nice to you, then you have to be nice to me. So I suggest that you stop before I go Latina crazy on you.
I'm loving the color blue, Smurfette.
How do you expect me to survive this?
Continuing on.
Wait. Before you get all carried away with your little comedy and all that stuff, I really want to go ahead and address a question that was asked by an industry professional early this week. And they said, really, Carla, why do you do this show every week, right? You're a busy professional. You're selling real estate. You have two kids. And you're doing this show. You're producing it. It takes a lot of time to produce this show. Come up with the top topics, bringing in our guests, and find the best of the industry to come out to elevate your real estate IQ. So anyway, the answer is because I am passionate about the business that I do. I mean, I recently met with a client who had been on the market for a whole year, listed a property with a local realtor who had his names on every bench in the city of Chicago, and basically decided that he wasn't going to show the properties. Mm. He wasn't going to call the client and let them know that the property, there was people who wanted to see the property. The property sat on the market for a whole year. I came in and after 20 days of marketing this property and showing the property myself, I got multiple offers at above list price. And that's the reason why I'm passionate about what I do, because I feel that our market is underserved and some people are not doing what they need to do when it comes to representing our clients for real estate. So that's my kind of like get it off your chest moment for Carla. Take it away, Nick.
Are you
fired up?
I'm not going to beat up on other loan officers like Carla beat up on another agent.
I'm not beating up. I'm saying that our industry, right,
has to step
up to the game because there's people who are making money. And this particular client is relocating to Mexico, and this is all their proceeds for their next life. So I'm sorry if I want to protect people's livelihoods and wealth.
No, the money's not the only part of this game. Obviously, you know, doing the job right and, you know, getting a reputation in the industry as being good at what you do is most important. But we got a show to do.
Do it.
We have a show to do with some special guests today. We have one of our sponsors that this is your first time on the air, isn't it?
This is my first time.
Look at that. In from Allstate Insurance. I think you're an agent owner or an office owner. Am I correct on that?
Correct. I have two agencies that I own.
And two agencies. Get it right.
Two Allstate Insurances. I know Carla Mina has been using you quite a bit recently. I have just been introduced to your name as of this year because I think we've never met officially.
No.
But Grocco works with her.
Grocco from so Island does work for
you
me.
You know that guy you work with?
So in the... Little dude? My guy? In the house from Allstate Insurance, Lisa Husino, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we're glad to have you. And of course, next to her, always flashy and sassy and all black and gold and whatever gold she can get her hands on. The one, the only, Mimi Luna from Caldwell Banker. Good to have you back. It's been a while since we've seen you.
It's been a while. I'm glad to be back.
Hi, beautiful.
Hi.
I love you.
All right, we know your resume. It's very tall and proud, so we're just going to move back over to Lisa. Lisa, tell us a little bit more. Tell us a little bit more about your insurance business and your career and how you got in it and why you're doing it and what tipped you to go in insurance. Just give us a good couple minutes on your background.
A quick background. I love hearing what you said in regards to being passionate about what you do, because I'm very passionate about what I do. I have been with Allstate. I know you guys are going to be shocked, but it's 29 years.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They had insurance back then?
Can you believe that?
No.
Are you serious? Wow.
I was like two. No. Yeah. But seriously, I came to Allstate because I wanted to work for a company that cared about the community and gave back. Our community is very underserved, and it's very important to me to make sure that I work with a group of people that are truly passionate about educating and helping people truly build the right portfolio to protect themselves. So that's why I got into the business. I have a great team. We have 6 licensed agents. I do have 2 agencies, one on North Avenue in the Humboldt Park area, and then one in Pilsen at 16th and Halstead.
Yeah.
And we love what we do. We love it.
And I need to underscore the importance of what you do, because it's a huge, huge part of life. I mean, insurance spans out way past our side of the industry, you know, for real estate and mortgages. We're always worried about getting to the closing table, right, guys? It's like we have to deal with so many nuances of property inspections and credit denials and or approvals or whatever comes along the way. Mm-hmm. And we essentially, I personally can admit to sometimes taking for granted the insurance issues. Like, you know,
you can't get to closing unless they get the insurance. So,
right.
I mean, you're more directly in the timeline or in the transaction piece of it all. You're more tied to the lenders because you guys decide, okay, we're getting a clear to close. All we need now, to get a clear to close would be to get insurance.
We're laser focused to do our jobs.
Right.
And we don't, you know, we've always recommended, sometimes we see insurance policies that we think are a little high and overcharged or overbilled. And mm-hmm. we've always recommended to try other insurance agents mm-hmm. that we work closely with. But, you know, it's always a sad case when you hear somebody doing, you know, but taking out a policy and realizing they're not covered here and not covered
exactly.
there. And that's so I think that at times we're so focused on what we do and we really don't give enough credit to what they have to do.
That's the important thing of an agent, getting to know that partner. So getting to know about iLoan and getting to know the process.
Right.
Because everybody's process is differently. So we have to be able to follow that process and work with the customer to make sure that they're properly covered.
Ooh-wee.
And that's why we have this amazing topic today, because I think it's so relevant, which is how to protect your investment. And, you know, with Mimi being an expert in her field, top agent with Coble Banker, helping families every day, I wanted her to give us what she feels as an expert is the top most three top affordable areas that she's actually digged up some stats on. So we want to encourage you to what? Why are you looking at me? No,
you're taking my lines.
No, I'm not taking
my lines.
I'm not taking your lines. I just wanted to kind of say that because you were talking about the importance of saving on insurance. Go ahead, Nick.
I feel like you just took half the show away from me.
You did.
The topic is the five most affordable neighborhoods. You're going to give us some good info, all you guys. Well, both of you guys, Carla and Mimi. And, of course, you know, how to protect that investment, which is ultimately the most important thing. It's not worth an investment if you lose it somehow tragically.
Right.
So the Q&A's with the experts, all three of them. I'm not included in this. It's another one of those things.
Expert.
It's another one of those things where if a mortgage question comes up, I'm here. I think you can call into us if you want to at 312-521-8589. Is that a number? Is that the number?
So. Is that a number?
You got
Zach?
A question for either me, Mimi, or Carla, or of course Lisa is here today for insurance questions. For those of you following us on YouTube, obviously we're gonna edit this. It's live right now, but it's going to be edited and tabbed and nicely categorized for you guys to skip right past Carla and jump straight to Mimi and Lisa whenever you want to watch this show again sometime next week. So with that being said, let's go on to our subtopics. We're going to go over a few different things. We have how do we identify value for the realtors in the office, or in the room, I should say, to get us to those hot neighborhoods. Number two, analyzing market indicators. Three, Mimi's top affordable neighborhoods, and four, Carla's top affordable neighborhoods. Clearly, nobody cares about Nick and Lisa's affordable neighborhoods. Number five, Lisa's final advice on how to save on homeowners insurance. And, you know, unfortunately, there's nothing for Nick to discuss in this show once again. How did this happen?
Because I produced it.
This is the worst. How did I sign on for this? Somebody help me out here.
We'll ask you for payments.
You ask me for payments? No, I'm not even going to help. I'm just going to jump
renting
in here. But
versus buying.
I just heard some noise in my ear, and that means it's time for us to do the Nitro question. We got to do this in the beginning of the show before we get into our actual show discussion, and then we're going to obviously come back and listen to the answer at the end of the show. Now, we have two guests here. Well, Mimi's not really a guest, but she hasn't been here so long. We're going to slap her with a Nitro question as well.
Please be nice to
the
our
Nitro
guests.
Question is sponsored actually by you today, Lisa Husina of Allstate Insurance. Get it good. Get it cheap. Call 312-850-0775. Again, that's 312-850-0775. I hope I said the right number.
Yes, you did.
Thank God.
I would have corrected you.
Lisa, you are the sponsor of the Nitro Question with Allstate today, and the Nitro Question is going to be, what is the most craziest, insane thing you've ever had a client's request to insure? I don't care if it's like a doll collection from the 50s or something weird or somebody's comic book collection or anything. The craziest or strangest insurance request that you've ever had to deal with where you just kind of sat back and said, I can't believe I'm hearing this, and I wait till I tell my husband this request. You know, something along those lines, all right? Mimi, and think about it, let it marinate. We're going to come back to you in a little bit on that one. Mimi.
Yes.
You like to get all political every once in a while.
No, I don't.
You like to get political every once in a while. So we're going to get political. The elections happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things covering the election, I want to know what was the most interesting part and why as far as what was going on in the election. And some of the bills and all that stuff and who you were voting for and why you're voting for.
Okay.
Cool? You're going to bring us a little bit more of the real world stuff, all right?
Sounds good.
Fair enough. Let's go.
I don't get a Nitro question.
You get nothing. I don't even have a. I don't have a show segment. You want me to reward you? Nitro question. Where in God's name do they sell Smurf outfits? We want to know.
You see this? I'm just not going to talk to you this whole entire section.
Checking out. Nick Lametti is done for the show.
Anyway, let's carry on with our show. So today, again, we're going to give you some really good tips on where to find some value in some neighborhoods in the city of Chicago. And I know you hate us getting local, but I thought it was imperative because not only are we going to give you ideas as to what's selling and what's affordable, but also how to find and identify neighborhoods that are, in fact, affordable for you so that you can build wealth over time and build equity over time. So let's get on with our show, Mimi. I'm going to start with you. How do we actually identify value in these neighborhoods?
We identify value with the price, how it's on the market, how fast the property moves on the market. And, of course, nowadays when you have rent so high, buying is kind of the way to go, especially what Nick was saying, how rates are going up. Prices, it'll be higher to obtain a loan, right, payment-wise.
Yep.
See, I gave you a loan thing.
Thanks. No, it will. I mean, the rates aren't. Look, there. I saw somebody post something yesterday about rates could hit 5% right. by the end of the year.
So now's the time to
They're almost at 5%. Like they're like an eighth or a quarter off in some cases already. So not could. They're going
to
hit it.
So now's the time to buy, and it'll give people more buying power. Buying. Certain places you have, let's say Brookfield, for instance, in the western suburbs, you average sale price of a house is $276,000.
Right. No, I get it. It's great finding value in these properties. And as you mentioned, you know, with interest rates going up and values going up in properties, obviously we're in the spring market, so values are increasing. Then we also got to look into the carrying costs, right? What is the carrying cost? And then on top of that, you're adding, you know, insurance on it. And in some cases, when you're doing a first time buying loan and you're using products like FHA, when you have to pay a mortgage insurance premium, that kind of like takes away from, you know, the value and the affordability index of that purchase. So, you know, Lisa, what are some ways that people like can reduce their costs for insurance when they're looking at these premiums?
Well, one of the things that I always, when I'm advising people when they're going through the process of getting ready to buy a home, is I remind them that they should have renter's insurance. Because all that takes into place and how renter's insurance helps you when you're going to buy the home. Of course, it protects your property, which everybody should have. But now you have a prior insurance discount, which allows you to get a discount on your homeowner's insurance.
Wow.
Just for having a renter's policy.
Seriously, a really good secret. And I've never heard of that, really.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. So I'm buying a property, never bought before, never owned anything before. But of course, my landlord never requested that I carry insurance, renter's insurance. Now you're saying that if I do have that history of having a rental policy, that it's going to give me a discount?
Correct. It'll give you a prior insurance discount.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Get that, Nick? So while you're renting and doing all that stuff?
And renter's insurance is so cheap. It really is. And most importantly,
it's like $20 a month usually. Yeah. $20-$30. It's not
It's about
very
protecting
expensive.
Your property.
Right.
It's less than that sometimes.
Really great. I mean, it definitely helps with the monthly carrying costs. Mimi, when we're looking at properties and we're analyzing value in a neighborhood and just a specific property, what are some of the indicators that you look in? What are some of the things that you look at when you're negotiating for a client and letting them know, okay, this property has really good value? Like, how do you negotiate for them?
We see how long it's been sitting on the market. We see how the average list price compared to the average sale price. We check and see how the turnaround time and the market is there.
I completely agree with that. And actually, when you're looking, and I want to tell people to be careful when you're looking at time on market, because I just had a scenario recently where I actually had to take a property off the market in fourth quarter. The property was completely rented. And so my client just didn't want to deal with the fourth quarter holidays and bothering her tenants. The property's in condo quality. The tenants have such pride of residency. I mean, they are keeping this rental property as if it were their own. Duplex down in West Town. And the agent who just submitted an offer after being on the market for, you know, 2 weeks and not being able to get but one set of people to come see the property said, well, you've been on the market for a really long time. And I said, well, okay, I'm being very transparent with you. I'm letting you know that the reason we were on the market for a long time was because we couldn't get people into the property. But I showed him, like, here are two offers, right? And I only showed the fourth page of the contract where it says, offer one came in at this date, offer two came in at this date, and this is when the offer three came in, which is when after I put the property on the market. So let's, you know, be more analytical when you're looking at market time and trying to negotiate with agents, and do believe the agent when they're telling you that the property has higher demand, because this was the first time that somebody told me that it is a buyer's market. I was like,
what?
Yeah. They actually negotiated with me. Wait, what? This is a buyer's market.
I'm over here playing with some things. looking at some research, and someone really said that?
Somebody really said that. Market rates are going up, and there is a lack of transactions, and the market is shifting where it's going to become a buyer's market. First of all,
there's a lack of transactions
because there's no inventory, and the properties that are not selling is because, you know, like, I mean, I have 10 RSVPs for this weekend. So anyway, market indicators, looking at the time of market, I wouldn't necessarily look at that. I would look more into the, and I know I can't say this word, absorption rate, or how long is it taking for that market to absorb that inventory? What's the you know, how many properties have sold in that month, and how many properties are still active? That's how long it's going to take you to be, you know, how much time you have to sell this property. So I say be very careful when you're looking at market time.
I don't want to fall off the tracks here, but going back, when do you consider it? We're all going to answer this for those people that think that it's already a buyer's market. I'm not saying it won't be. It always could be a buyer's market inevitably, but it's definitely not a buyer's market today. Right. As we sit here today on, what is it, March 20-something, it's not a buyer's market. But what do you consider a buyer's market? One-word answer. What do you consider a buyer's market? One-sentence answer. What is it?
What do you mean?
When is it supply and demand, right?
Okay.
When there's more supply than demand. I mean, that's like the economic way of looking at it.
You.
I would consider when rates are low.
Okay. Buyer's market, insurance.
I would agree as well as when rates are low. I don't agree that it's a buyer's market right now. There's multiple offers coming in on a property that they're being outbid, right?
Yeah.
So no.
I'm going to rarely agree with Carla that if there's a flood.
Oh my gosh. Is this recorded? I'm so glad.
It's your birthday, isn't it?
It's my birthday today.
If there's a lot of properties for sale in the neighborhood and they're all standing there, it's a buyer's market. That's my opinion. I mean, not even a lot, but just more than one choice. Mm-hmm. Then it's a buyer's market. We are not there.
And I get it, right? So interest rates are getting higher. So the buyers are going to have to slow down, and they're going to look at the, you know, like the affordability index of this purchase. But you also have to take in consideration that there is still no inventory. Right. And until the market gives us more supply, then we're still going to be a seller's market. And so I would like people to understand, like, when we're creating value and we're having this show about how to create value for yourself, I want you to look in the micro level of the transaction, like the individual neighborhood, the individual property, how long it's been on the market. And typically, you know, like, what is the transaction history of that property? In the MLS, as realtors, we're able to look at the additional information and check and see, like, how long this property came on the market. Did it ever go under contract? When was it reactivated? Did it go temp? Right? Because these are good indicators of, like, you know, the sellability of this property. And more importantly, when the property has been under contract, I always like to see, okay, was it within the 5-day of attorney review, or was it within 20, 30 days? Because now we're looking at maybe the deal fell through because of financing. If the deal fell through within the first 5 days, maybe it was an inspection issue. I want to know why did it fail inspection, right? Mm-hmm. And be more transparent. Let me know, you know, what are the inspection items? And you know what? There's not a lot of inventory. So buyers may look and say, well, you know what? It's not a big deal with the repairs. I'll take it. I want it for this price, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
I concur.
Oh, that's how you're going to add on to today's show?
Isn't that
show?
For the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I concur.
Do you concur? I concur. Where are we at?
Where are we?
Are we on number two still?
We're still on number two. How do we identify value?
That's number one. So are we on number two?
I love how they're finally looking at my notes.
I mean, I'm so against this whole, like, note thing. I'm just like, I don't do notes.
All right, fine. Let's move on. Let's move on. Producers and everybody, we're moving on to analyzing market indicators.
I think she's trying to micromanage us.
Right?
I think. Yeah,
you're taking away all my luster.
Your luster?
Me and Mimi cannot be in cages.
I know.
With scripts. We need to do our jobs. Let us just improv like Second City. All right.
You can never survive at Second City.
You want to bet?
No, Second City is about yes and then you're nice to that person. You don't call them Smurfs. You don't talk about their Allstate blue collar.
I just come up with things randomly. That's called improv. So, for example, I will not say anything about Smurfs or Allstate blue collar you're celebrating today. I will ask you, when did you decide to become an airline stewardess?
Analyzing market indicators. So maybe you were talking about some of the things that you look at when you're analyzing a property. When looking at the average sales price in the area, what is it that you're trying to see? Why are you looking at that specific why are you looking at that type of stats?
To compare it to the list price,
mm-hmm.
and to see the exact amount of wiggle room we have in the community. comparing list to sale price.
Right. And I think it's important because a lot of people miss this, right? When we have a lot of information accessible to us through the multiple listing service, and that's why we're MLS is way better than Zillow and Redfin. I'm sorry. I'm just saying that. I'm calling everybody
preach.
Out today. Preach.
Say it.
Because we have access to this information, you guys.
And it's real data.
It's real.
Correct data.
You know it. We can touch it. It exists. We can see it. But the average sales price in a neighborhood, it's important because, you know, when you're looking at three different neighborhoods and you're comparing what is more affordable to you, some of you are going to be going through with, you know, schools. Obviously, that matters. But if you're looking at an up-and-coming neighborhood and you're like, I want to be the trendsetter in this neighborhood, you're going to look at the average sales price for that month of February or that last month, and you're going to compare it to the other three. And then you're also going to look at year-ago growth, right? Mm-hmm. If the market is growing at 8% versus 6% versus a 5% in the other one, you're going to go with the 8%, but they're all basically, you know, in that 250 some range, I know, for the suburbs, but, you know, in the 350 to 450 in the city. So it's just, you know, when you're working with the realtor, make sure that you're looking at these things, especially if you haven't figured out the location where you'd like to live. Wow. It's a Carla show today. I'm done.
I mean, I'm not the realtor.
Come on, Mimi.
Like, I'm scripted
list
right
price
now.
Versus sales here. Price ratio. What is it? What does that indicate?
What does that indicate? What do you mean?
When you're looking at a property and you're looking at the list price versus sales price ratio, how does it affect pricing when we're negotiating?
It affects pricing because it tells you what the movement on.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You guys are doing all this training and stuff. What's going on here?
Stewardess, pilot. Go ahead. Sorry, Mimi.
So this is what I have to deal with all the time. It's bendito. Like having two kids. Ves?
Yeah.
Go ahead,
si
Mimi.
Se bendito. She took it there.
I'm just saying that there's phone calls coming in, just so you know, Carla. Go ahead, Mimi.
Let's answer a phone call.
No, go ahead. Finish what you're saying, please.
Okay, so I was saying it gives us the wiggle room, right? If we know that a house, if the market usually sells at 92% of list price, then we have wiggle room with the price and what to offer the seller. So it's a science. It's not like it's picked out of the air.
There you go. So while someone is not doing her job and she's busy typing away, I'll just jump in here and go to, are we jumping straight to like what are like Mimi's most top affordable neighborhoods, or are we still on?
Well, I want to go back to the list price sales price ratio, just because I think it's important for people to understand that. You know, so a neighborhood's going to have a 3%, you know, list price, sales price ratio. And so you're going to go in there and right away you're going to offer that 3-4% off of list price. But you have to understand the market and that specific property, right? Because if the property is underpriced, a lot of agents are doing that now to generate multiple bidding wards. You're wasting your time by submitting an offer just because you're like, oh, well, you know, Logan Square or X area, Lincoln Park or Lakeview is transacting at a 3-2% list price, sales price ratio based on February stats. I mean, it's a very bad way to look at it. I would always say, obviously, run your comps, right? And know the specific market for that individual property.
I mean, and another thing to look at is the inventory, right? If there is no inventory, I mean, then you're kind of going to have to go with, if a seller's on the market for less than 7 days, I'm not going to tell them to take a lower price. And sure, there's no inventory on the property. I mean, it depends who you represent, right? If you're representing the seller, you're representing the buyer.
Exactly. Did you say we had something? No?
No, you just ignored him. There was like five callers, and you're busy just talking away and ignoring everybody waiting on
there's
hold.
There's a message in your inbox, too, that you have to look at.
No,
so
there's nothing in my inbox.
Yes, there is.
No, I'm not even going to read my inbox. I'm done being scripted. I'm no longer being scripted. I'm
it's
off
your
the script.
Producer that's I'm trying off. To talk to you.
I don't get nobody produces me. I'm a solo act.
Oh my God. See exactly what he is. He's a solo act.
I'm a solo act.
Okay, fine. Then take it away, Mimi. Let's get to number three. Mimi's top affordable neighborhood.
Mimi.
Get it.
So, Mimi's top affordable neighborhoods in the western suburbs. If you're looking for Brookfield, what is going on?
I don't know. Just ignore her. I'm right here. Right here. Don't worry about.
She's like,
don't,
okay,
just
I'm gonna talk
her.
To you, Nick, because you have a list. Me off
you have,
over there.
You have a list of three, and I agree with them. So go ahead.
Yeah. So if we're looking at Brookfield, the average sales price there is about $276,000, which gives you a mortgage payment of $2,000 a month, with taxes and insurance included. That's about rent price. So it always makes more sense to buy than rent because then you're just burning your money. There's also loan programs out there where you can get 7% of your loan amount, put $1,000 down. So everybody
can buy. You told me about that today, and
yes.
it was seriously, it's awesome. What's the name of the program?
It's the infrastructure loan.
Nick.
Nick, tell us a little bit more about the
information. She's cheating, first of all.
Why is
she's
she cheating?
She's not coming here because her husband's a lender. So he might have saw something that I haven't seen yet, and now all of a sudden she's coming.
You haven't seen yet?
Oh,
hold on.
Oh, my God.
Yes, oh, my God.
You.
Come on. You haven't seen. Rain. I thought you saw everything.
I got to do a dance for this.
Hey.
Hey,
tomorrow I might find it.
You're
and
a
by
too
Monday,
late.
And by
How
Monday,
about I'll send it to you.
And by Monday, I have mastered it. That's fine. You're catching me off guard with this one. It's fine. Go
I
ahead.
Love it, Meme. You've
so
made my day.
Infrastructure loan in Cook County. Mm-hmm. It's 7% of the loan amount, $1,000 down, and you can use it to play closing costs or all your down payments. So everybody should be able to buy now. 580 credit score, I believe.
And all three of these neighborhoods that you have on your top three in the western suburbs are in Cook County.
Yes, Cook County.
So you forgot to mention the other two.
So we have Berwyn, which average sale price there is $226. Monthly mortgage payment there would be about $1,600. And then we also have Lyons, which is in between there. Average sale price is $174,000. And your monthly mortgage payment is about $1,400.
And then we're basing all these payments roughly off of standard tax rates of 1.75, I think, roughly is those areas, or maybe 2% in some cases.
Right.
And interest rates being in the fours, somewhere in the mid-fours.
Yes, sir.
Off of today's market.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So out of these three, which one's your favorite one?
So my favorite one is always...
From a value perspective, not to
so,
live in.
And even on a return on investment theory, perspective so is the ones with the better school districts, right?
Okay.
That always holds value. But, I mean, other ones have their pluses too, right? The closeness to the city, the how to get around fast, the metro trains.
Give and take in all of them.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, the return on investment and, like, what seems to be the hottest, most affordable neighborhoods, these are the three. Which one out of the three do you think would be the one that is probably the slightly better bang for the buck?
I would say...
Bang for the buck, not where you would reside or have a better school district. Bang for the buck.
Right. I would say Brookfield. Only because your resale value is, it's
stable,
growing and it's stable and, you know, the school district supports it.
All right. There you have that. Carly, you can jump in here any minute now.
So we were supposed to... I was supposed to do two.
Yeah, you keep reading that list.
Yeah, but I did four. So, but not, I'm not going to go through all of them. So I chose Dunning specifically. It's in the area on the north side of Chicago, kind of northwest side, and it's got a great acquisition price point for entry level. I mean, below 300 in these areas, it's significantly affordable for most people. If you're looking at the surrounding neighborhoods like Old Irving, if you're looking at Albany Park, and of course, if you go further east, you're looking at Roscoe Village. And so, I'm looking at the single family category, right? And the single family category is always going to attract moms and families. So that's why I kind of focus my information on an area that had under 300 purchase price, because we're looking at that, you know, first time buyer who's got what, $40,000 or $60,000 in income per year. So again, very affordable neighborhood. In February, the average sales price was $289,750, and the year ago growth was 8%. So this neighborhood's growth is growing at an 8% rate, and you're getting in there with less than $350 or less than $450. Mind you, these stats include properties that are maybe 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms. So I just want to encourage you to do your own research, and when you're working with the realtor, to make sure that they're looking at this information as well. But, you know, again, go ahead and look at the specific property so that, you know, you're not saying, well, Carla said all properties are 289 in this area. The total properties currently for sale are 96, and the number of properties sold in February was 18. So we're looking at a 96 level of inventory. That's kind of high for the area, right? And 18 properties selling, that's a 5 month worth of inventory. So you're not going to be rushed with bidding wars because they have 5 months to get rid of this type of inventory based on the number of sales. So You can like rest assured that you're going to get it for a good price. You're not going to have the emotional burden of having to get into a bidding war and paying a premium. And so that's the reason why I chose this property. And then your sales price, list price, sales price ratio is 95.6%. So it's like 4.4% of negotiating room or wiggle room, as you like to call it. And I know a lot of clients always ask, so Carla, what would you ask or what would you recommend that we offer? Well, based on the stats and what happened in February, I would always say, well, let's start looking at the 4% wiggle room. But again, look at the individual property. Make sure that you're not like lowballing a client and the property was underpriced or is competitively priced. And so for the other three that I do have, I want to go ahead and say Albany Park or MOSA, and also South Humboldt Park. We're seeing a lot of growth and great acquisition levels or affordable acquisition levels. So I want to say that if you want to get that information from me, you should inbox me, email me, or you can call me directly at 312-498-8473. And I'd love to share this information with you. Nick?
Taking into consideration all the stuff we're talking about is all about saving money, getting the best return on investment, the whole nine yards. There is no secret. I know we touched on it in the beginning of the show, and I didn't want to just jump in the middle of the fun part of actual real estate buying. There's three different things going on here. You have to keep an eye on where the best investment is, mm-hmm. first and foremost. Where can you get the biggest bang for your buck from an appreciation standpoint, from a cost of living standpoint, the whole nine yards. Some places are higher for insurance on a regular Correct. Basis than other places, depending mm-hmm. on where you're located. And then we touched on interest rates. But interest rates, you know, we keep touching on them from a mortgage perspective. Oh, your payment to qualify. So sure, if you're one of those people that were dependent and qualifying all the way to the maximum debt-to-income ratio, some lenders will only go up to 45%. Some lenders will go up to 50%. Some lenders even have programs to 55%, which we're not going to go into. That's a whole other show for a different day. But it's not just about qualifying for your mortgage. What you have to understand is mortgage rates are going up. Not only mortgage rates are going up. When the Feds announce that rates are going up, they go up across the board. So it's not just fitting into your mortgage payment and hurrying up, get in there before rates get too high for the mortgage. You have to wonder now, is my car getting old? Am I getting to buy another car? Am I going to have 0% financing down the road? Or am I going to have higher rates on a car, like interest rate? Mm-hmm. Is the insurance premium on these things going to go up? There's a lot of other factors. When you're talking about rates, we in this room think of one rate in particular because it's involved with our product. But rates are all over the place. I mean, they're on financing furniture, financing cars, financing everything. So with the Fed's announcement of, you know, holding steady for the most part, but a projected forecast of raising them slowly, you have to worry that if you wait too long, not only will the house start to slip away, but what other payments are going to be increased versus taking care of the stuff right now. Make sense?
It makes sense.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And while you're talking about that, like, seriously, Lisa, I know that a lot of people always say, well, my insurance premium always goes up every year. What are some indicators or ways that, you know, like, that people can actually save on insurance, but more importantly, does the policy always increase?
Not always. So a lot of people say that because they get their mortgage bill and their mortgage bill increased.
Or their taxes, property taxes increase, right? So
that's the bottom line. It's finding out, okay, exactly what did increase.
Right.
And when you look at the, you know, it's interesting listening to how sale prices and things come up, because when you call us for insurance, we're not looking at the sales price. We're not going to insure your house because you bought it for $250 doesn't mean it should be insured for $250. The bottom line is you want to get a replacement cost policy, a policy that's going to rebuild your home like kind and quality. So that's what we take a look at.
So I'm sorry to cut you off, but like it's like at the tip of my tongue. If I bought a house for $250 and got an amazing deal because Mimi sold it to me, not Carla.
Right.
All right. Uh-huh. But it's worth $350, and you know, and I don't mean worth $350 on the market, but it costs $350 to rebuild this house.
Right.
You telling me I should be insured at $350?
Yeah.
That's a big mistake a lot of people don't make.
Exactly. I mean, you think about it.
Especially in the luxury market right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because western suburbs, you touched on some, but you start going a little bit further west. Burridge, Oakbrook, Hinsdale.
LaGrange.
There's a lot of great deals. You're talking like $2.5 million cost of constructions mm-hmm. that are going for like $1.3, $1.4. It's laughable.
Right.
So,
well,
go ahead,
even
sorry.
In the city, you know, I think a lot about the Greystones, especially when you're looking at Hermosa, you're looking at the South Humboldt Park area, beautiful structures, and you can buy them cheap, but you're not going to rebuild it. And that's the bottom line. We look at what's it going to cost to rebuild your home if the worst thing happens.
And that's something that you did have a conversation with me about, because when I bought the property, obviously it's a flip, so my acquisition cost was like really low. And I was like, yeah, I want a premium for this amount. You're like, no, you want the after repair value because that's going to be the end use.
Right.
So a lot of people don't realize that. So I really recommend that you contact Lisa. I mean, not only is she always on the spot, she responds right away, and she's got a great and amazing team. I want to do a shout out to Esmeralda. I don't know where she ran off to, but she's in the studio. And, you know, it does make sense for people to guide you through this process, because even myself as an expert doing this for clients all the time, I'm always like, okay, so where do I send the payment? You know, like, right. Just get this task off my desk.
I mean, we're inundated with just give me the cheapest coverage possible.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's about cheap, cheap, cheap. And it's like you're not paying attention to something that important.
Right, because it's going to cost you a lot more.
Right.
Well, it's not that I'm cheap. I don't like that word cheap, or I'm trying to be cheap, because I want affordability, but I want the best. You want
quality coverage at the best price. Right. So there's a lot of things that can tie into it. And you had asked me about that. So, for example, when you're buying a property that needs to be, you know, there's repairs, you do get a discount for putting on a new roof. You do get a discount for new plumbing, electrical. So all of those things help bring your costs down. So when you purchase a property, that may not be the case, mm-hmm. but you're working on it and you're doing all these things, and then we can endorse the policy to give you credit for those things that you've done.
Yeah, and it's really, people don't understand like how you structure the loan for, the insurance coverage for them. So what are, and that takes us to number four, we're five. Lisa's final advice on how to save on home insurance. Like, what are some things or some items?
Can I get a question answered for me, please?
No. Yeah.
The nitro question?
Are you still here?
You're like zooming right through, and we haven't even gotten the answers to our nitro question.
Wait, I have a question, too, because as far as like insurance policies, like how that affects payment to the mortgage mm-hmm. and keeping their debt to income down. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to be a little more affordable than
going
over. Say
that part again. Sorry, because like...
Well, yeah. Your co-pilot,
my co-pilot was acting up. Mm-hmm. So say that question again.
Saying understanding the client's situation.
She
getting to know, you know, when you start working with me, Nick, you're going to feel all this that I'm talking
See?
About.
See? I love it. She called
From
you
what
out.
I understand, my office is working with you. Why are you blaming me?
That's true.
Lisa.
You're blaming me. Like,
he's
I'm the
not
one
important.
That's. I'm
you're
not.
Nicky went like work.
I'm not a worker.
Okay, your
Wait,
people.
Not a worker.
Your that's people, Nick, know this.
Your people.
Teach my people.
Yeah. But no, getting to know the client's situation, right? Because there is, as you stated. So there's things to look at with the customer and talking about that. And there may be, you know, you may have to take a higher deductible mm-hmm. In order to bring your monthly cost down.
That's kind of scary, though.
I go down.
It is scary.
I always play with higher deductibles.
But wait, so
I'm
this is personal. Like, even when you're going through, you know, obviously you know that we're going to sell this property in 3 to 6 months or hopefully three. So would you recommend a high deductible? I mean, it's kind of high risk, but it's only short term.
Right. It depends on the situation and how and the comfort level. I always go myself with, you know, high deductible.
Whoa.
Speaking of situations, we want to get back to the nitro question, and we want to hear some situations you've been. In case you forgot the nitro question, we have to get to it.
But she didn't give us the other three things that are going to save us.
Oh, there was three things we were waiting on?
She was going to give her top...
We'll do it after the nitro, I guess.
The nitro question, according to the video.
You know what?
You
know what? I'm retiring. Go ahead.
No. Okay. All right. I'll finish
the discount. Was that a snort? Hold on. Pause the air. We're going to rewind, edit that. We're going to blow that up on the next promo. That was a freaking Smurfy snort. Snorty Smurf.
Stop calling me a Smurf.
Snorty Smurf. That was a snort.
Lisa, we're so professional and unprofessional on this side. I just want you to know that he is in no way a reflection. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Give us your.
All right. So my top ways to save on insurance.
From the boss lady who has two offices.
Yes, boss lady with two offices. Seriously, though, one thing I really think is important is to sit down with the agent and find out what discounts are available. I love the fact that many millennials love green, right? They're green everything. Well, if you go green on your policies, there's money to be saved. When you bundle policies, there's money to be saved. E-policy, e-bill, all of that's electronic. You save money. I talked about protective device as well. With protective device, if you had an alarm system, if you had deadbolt locks, fire extinguisher, these are all ways that you can save money. So we go down the line with our customers and go over all the different ways that you can cut the costs on your insurance and show them if you took all of these and implemented all of these discounts, this is the amount that you would save. And then go from there, because some people aren't comfortable with that. But we try to make sure that we give you the best coverage at the best rate.
That I'm seriously writing this down, because a lot of, like, you know, so we can better advise our clients. Sometimes you don't know.
You can rewind the show, too.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
You can go through the tabs.
You can
on
pay
YouTube.
It. You don't have
I can
to.
Through the tabs.
Yeah, you can go through
you
the tabs.
You can fast forward to YouTube.
Yeah, I can guarantee you'll be able to find the show again.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, renovated home discount. Because a lot of times we're buying a property and we're making repairs to it. We're putting in a new roof, doing
yeah,
the plumbing,
I want to make sure that I get these things.
So that's why every year we call our customers to get updates and find out what's going on in your life, because life changes, and what have you done to your property to make sure that you're properly insured and you're getting all the discounts you should be getting.
Yeah, Nick, do you call your clients a year later to find out how they're
no,
doing?
No, but I think a lot of people do go through some heavy renovations and forget to like
yeah,
bring
do.
It up, or like I heard of somebody doing a whole addition.
Yes.
Oops.
And my gosh, you really want to tell
like,
your agent.
You do an addition for 1,000 square feet and you yeah. forget to mention it. That's not going to be
no,
good.
Not at all.
And then also, right, these are good features to add into a new property that you're going to resale because the end user is going to be saving, and it's going to be affordable for them to carry the cost on a monthly basis. Wait, so I kind of cheated, and I called Nick Yassin, and he gave me these numbers for this property, because going back to my affordable neighborhood, seriously, I'm super excited about this neighborhood because I just did the work for this show, but got great findings here. He gave me the whole deal on this whole loan program with 1%. He said it was 1%, or what was it, 2890? What was that? 1% of the purchase price, or $1,000, whichever
is
less,
lower.
Is what you're going to use for down payment. So this is amazing. In this specific area of a $289,750, so say 290 purchase price, on a 290 purchase price, your payment will be about $2,000. I mean, for a single family, $2,000 a month on a, and we ran it against a $5,000 average tax price. I don't know what he did for interest rate, but $2,000 versus renting, I mean, a three-bedroom single-family house in these neighborhoods, you're not going to find anything for less than $2,000. So thank you, Nick, for running these numbers, and I love this program. Remember, down payment is 1% of the purchase price, or $1,000. Love it.
Wait.
That's awesome.
Lots of information today.
So we're going to get
you guys all to buy.
Are we going to get to this nitro question answer?
Yes, go to like, your nitro question.
I'm feeling like it's just been forgotten. The nitro question segment is clearly being lost in the program, which means I'm out of a job. I was the nitro man.
So dramatic.
I was the nitro man, but nitro. Apparently it's not important anymore. So
you only came to the show.
Nitro
the
blew
nitro.
Up. I'm only here for. I'm just gonna get a t-shirt. I'm just here for the nitro question.
The question was:
Give us some of the. Give us one of, or if you want to give us two, but one at least of the most insane things you've ever been requested to insure or do an insurance policy of whatever sort, whether it was cars, homes, life. Family, I don't know, anything that you can remember where you're just like, am I hearing this right? And then you had to keep a stone cold face and not tell the person on the other line, this is a little absurd. Go ahead, give it to us.
All right. I've had a couple, but I think the most, it kind of knocked me off my chair and I'm like, oh, what? What did you say? A customer called in. She wanted to make a change on her life insurance policy, which all of us need life. And she wanted to name her dog as the beneficiary.
Wait, what?
Her dog.
Her dog.
She loves her dog. I love my dog.
So something happened to her, the dog got all the money.
Yes.
But if you named the dog Carlamina, would that come?
Oh. You, that was wide open. Oh, boy. Let her go back. Go ahead. So what do you say? What do you say when do you have to break in the news that the dog can't cash the check? Or like, how does that all work?
Wait, I mean, there's a trust and an estate for the dog.
Wait,
the dog
I'm getting there, people.
Go ahead.
Look,
go ahead.
She's just jumping, right?
Right. Like.
So, you know, first, you know, wow, that's wonderful. You must really love your dog. Tell me about your dog, you know. So mm-hmm. She told me about her dog.
Tell me
and
about
I said, well, the best thing
what
for you to do.
It
was who cares? Tell us the story.
It was a beautiful Great Dane.
Oh,
those
wow,
are some
nice things. Dog.
Beautiful dog.
Nice dog. Rich dog.
Yes, it's a rich. This dog is rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I told her, I said, that's wonderful, but someone needs to care for the dog. So do you have a loved one, a family member that you would trust to care for your dog? And create a plan on how you want these funds.
Wait, you were still laughing. Professional in all this? Because I would have died.
Yes. She cares about her dog.
I'd have been like, are you crazy?
Oh, my God.
I'm not putting your dog as a beneficiary. You found a way to be like white velvet glove around this whole situation. You're good, girl. I'll give you that.
That is insane. I love it, though. That's cute.
So, yeah,
I guess.
That
you
was,
gotta
I
love
think,
someone.
One of the crazy ones.
Yeah. Something. That's a dog. Cool.
Ooh, we had more than one nitro question. We're going to go to our political room with Mimi Luna. You had a nitro question. The elections were here.
Could you please repeat?
The elections were here. I wanted to know what you thought of them, or what were you most curious about in watching the turn or the results of the election.
Well, actually, when you went to vote, I was kind of caught off guard when they asked about, you know, the legalization of marijuana in Cook County. So that was kind of like odd, I thought.
Oh, I wasn't.
You didn't vote?
I didn't vote.
You didn't do your duty.
I didn't put any voting
duty
into Crook County this year.
Stop it.
Mm-mm. So I'm moving to Page.
You have to protect just the saying, neighborhoods that you serve,
just saying.
Right?
I'm moving to Page.
Do Page.
Bye-bye, Crook. On to the Page.
So the people have spoken, and the people of Cook County. Sorry, Mr. DuPage resident.
It's all good. I'm still here technically.
they would allow it, I guess, to be on.
Marijuana? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a hot topic across the country right now.
Hot topic.
I mean, everyone else is already legalizing it. And then the more you keep reading about it, it helps a lot of sick people.
It does.
I mean, I don't give them anything that helps them. So I'm totally for it, whatever. I don't even smoke, but I'm for it.
I'm ready to sell some space, commercial spaces for dispensaries or whatever.
There you go.
It's always making my hustle. Are you happy now? You did your Nitro question.
Wow. I'm signing out.
Sign out.
No, I'm not. I'm just
kidding. It is actually time.
Is it really?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
You've had so much fun today.
You know what? Next time you throw a script in front of me, I'm going to just...
I didn't do this, actually. Your team did it.
My team is getting off. Y'all getting fired.
I love how your team works for Carla.
Right? I love how they work for Carla.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish they worked for Carla, actually.
I wish you'd pay for them. Well, as you all know, we are absolutely nobody without our sponsors, and we want to thank Mike Radnick and Carmen Carbonara of Stewart Title, Tamika Scott with Money Matters Financial Peace, Denise Edenhofer with Fidelity National Home Warranty, Joanna Diaz with Credit RX, and of course, our guest in the studio today, Lisa Husino of Allstate Insurance, boss lady with multiple locations, not just one, who you can call, by the way, once again, 312-850-0775. Again, that's 312-850-0775. This show, along with all our shows, regardless of what Carla is wearing, will be on all our social media outlets. Whether you watch it live today or you want to go and watch it cataloged on YouTube, Market Overdrive is on YouTube, Facebook.com/Market Overdrive. It is not going to be on Twitter, but you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you can go to the WGN Radio Plus website, and the podcast will be up. If you just want to download the podcast whenever it happens and you could listen to it whenever you have time, go to iTunes and subscribe to Market Overdrive on iTunes, and you can follow us there as well. Other than that, I want to thank all my homies in the stadium. We're going to make this a stadium because it's like arena day. We had like a bunch of people around us.
Your homies?
My homies. You are definitely not my homie. You're my little homie, my little blue homie. I want to thank you all for being here today. We will be back again next Thursday, 1 week from today, 1 week and just short of an hour at 5:30 p.m. next week. We'll probably have another great guest with another great topic and another great outfit in blue.
You never pick on Mimi.
Because she's awesome. Have a great week.